For thousands of years, hordes of buried treasure have lain undisturbed. Now, two metal-detecting hotshots, who've discovered some of Britain's most incredible finds, are joining forces with an archaeologist to embark on an epic quest to unlock history and unearth treasure.
I found gold!
This is the type of signal that I live for. That's a hoard!
Hello,
and
Gary.
This is only the third one ever to be found in this country of these, so it's extremely rare.
He swims it again!
They are Gordon Heritage.
First Roman coin!
Gary Broom.
This is my weapon of mass detection.
And Mike Webber.
What I want to know is this the coin Viking?
They are the Hoard Hunters.
A hoard is a group of personal possessions that somebody in ancient times buried, and they intended to come back for it, but for whatever reason, they couldn't. If we return to sites of scattered hoards, some of them must have been missed. Now, we're returning to those sites with state-of-the-art metal detectors.
We have the latest technology that can go deeper, built-in GPS system that can analyze metals and know what those metals are before we even dig them out of the ground.
We could find missing items from the original hoard, or we could find other things that unlock the history of the site.
First rule of metal detecting, get permission from the landowner. Second rule of metal detecting, obey the Treasure Act. Third rule of metal detecting, record your finds. And the fourth rule of metal detecting, get yourself some toilet paper, because you never know where you need to go.
Metal detecting can also be very dangerous, so you've got to take precautions.
We have 50 years of experience between us, a proven track record. We are the Hoard Hunters.
Coming up, the boys search Wendover for a hoard of medieval coins.
19 pennies from the Plantagenet period. But who are the Plantagenets?
Lay in bed at night just thinking, what if, what if? Stop messing around, start finding some treasure.
I mean, come off it, guys, we've been here an hour.
Think I got one.
Then get it! The Green Yummy!
Were dealt with harshly.
I could kiss you!
The Hoard Hunters did it.
You sure did.
Over 101, the dog's danglies. And I tell you what, Gordon is not going to like it one bit.
Gary's, he likes his toys, and he doesn't seem to have much common sense sometimes.
He's going to hate me.
Go, mate! Oh,
this vehicle's good for me and Gordon because, you know, you've got to think positive. Think of all the treasure I can get in the back of that.
You're gonna love it. Look, all the room, you can get over one ton of treasure in there. And we can even drop it out of the plane as well at the same time.
I should have gone and got the car.
I don't know which one he's gonna dislike most, me or the truck.
I'm lost for words.
What did you do?
The last time Rolls I'm Royce. Ever gonna send you to get a vehicle.
It's a breather pipe.
It's a breather pipe. He does it every time. You know, we need comfort, we need...
No, what do we need comfort for? Of course it's safe. It was a military vehicle.
Doesn't look very comfortable, though. Well, this dig is very interesting because the Peter, who you'll meet later, actually walked out into his field and found, I think, 19 coins straight off. Now, straight away, he knew there was more coins there, but his machine couldn't get down to them deeper, so he... basically has invited us over. They're what's called the short cross coinage. They're late 12th century and then through to about halfway through the 13th century. Hopefully we'll be finding whole pennies. Mm. But when it got to the reign of Henry III, he actually issued round halfpennies and round farthings. Now, these are extremely rare. So if, you know, if we were really, really lucky, we could maybe get a little round halfpenny or a round farthing. And these are worth thousands of pounds. They're that rare.
I'm going to find one.
There's no point in taking those big, big monocoils because that interference is just going to drive us mad.
So we use the double D ones?
Yeah.
So, yeah. OK, cool. Well, should we get to it then?
Let's go for it.
Yes! Music to my ears!
I swear, Carbon.
Don't even see for cleaning it then. Get him!
This hoard consisted of 19 pennies from the Plantagenet period. But who are the Plantagenets? They were a group of kings, a family of kings, who reigned for several hundred years between the Normans and the Tudors. But no one really seems to know much about them, me included. The coins were short cross pennies. And apparently, these are really quite important coins. But I don't know why. I'm certainly not a coin expert. But Gordon is, and medieval is his period. So if I'm going to get one up on him, I'm going to need to find out an awful lot, not just about the Plantagenets, but also about their coinage. So I'm going to go off to Winchester to meet a real expert who I've told knows even more about medieval coins than Gordon does.
Normally, when we drive out to a site where we might find a hoard, I'm usually quite excited. But today, I must admit, I'm frightened to death. It's a real buzz. This drive out is what the hobby's all about. And when you're searching hoards, it's the anticipation of what could be there. I mean, you lay in bed at night just thinking, what if? I feel sick. Actually, we just actually come past another hoard site. A guy farming, who's ploughing out in these fields to the right here, and he came across loads of gold coins. Now, this is back in the early 19th century. He called the policeman out, and the policeman came out, picked up all the coins, gave him £10 reward, and that was the last anybody ever heard of it. And it's one of those big mysteries in this area. Who was this policeman? What were the coins? And where the hell did they go? It feels like we're about to die.
There's so many gadgets on switches on this. Look at this one. Infrared. What's that about? I think it was used by the military. You can shine an infrared onto the car in front, and then you can follow them with your night vision goggles. But we're not going to go there. Let me get through there! Get in there!
You are not going to get in there.
Get him!
I'm not with you! I'm not with you! I must admit, I don't like this vehicle because it's there's like fumes coming in there. I'm sure it's carbon monoxide.
It's not at all.
In.
Only on your side.
Well, I hadn't been detecting for quite some time, but on this particular nice evening, I thought I'd just walk across and see if there's anything there. And to my astonishment, in about an hour, I had found three of these little hammered coins, these silver pennies. Now, I only use a fairly basic detector, so I contacted my friend, who has a much moderner machine, and we both searched for several evenings that week, and we were quite astounded. We found about 22
The first three coins were found in the vicinity of that telegraph pole, about 10 yards either side of it. And then as they started coming to the surface, they were all still within that area. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's more coins to be found in this field, and that's the reason why I got in contact with Gordon and Gary, because they've got all the high-tech gear to basically get them out. And I think that they would be well-suited seeing if there's anything left in this field, and I'm pretty sure there is. Well, as you can see, I've cut the field, and I've rolled it with this rather ancient tractor and a Cambridge press. And the idea of that is to press the soil right down, and that should enhance Gordon and Gary's chances of making some decent finds.
I can't see.
I can't see. Don't worry about it. Good feeling.
Right, there's definitely a grey car.
Go.
Oh!
Don't run the bike over. He's stopped.
I've seen he stopped, don't worry.
I'm sorry, but this will never grow on me.
When this is filled with a ton of treasure delivered to the British Museum.
I'm worried. There is so many fumes coming in here. Honestly, I swear I'll get it. Oh, all right, stop.
Thing with that ring ditch.
This is it.
I'm going to probably track myself with a GPS going backwards and forwards, so I'll be doing my own thing. The three of you just go wherever you like. If you do find anything, shout.
Pen.
There's one for you.
What?
Yeah.
You're
not going to find any more than that, Gary.
OK, guys, come on, let's get out and find it. We've got a long day ahead of us. Let's go.
Lots of interference.
This is a big signal, a big signal. I mean, do you know what? If this is that Bronze Age axe I've always wanted, I don't know what to say. In fact, I'll leave the film shoot, I'm gone. For the depth of that thing. I mean, if this is a Bronze Age axe, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I left it.
Oh, no.
See, there?
Just missed it.
It could be a bronze sword for me. Completely off. What's that? What did I tell you? I said it could be iron. Part of a flipping plough, a bit of farm machinery. And guess what it is? It's part of a plough.
Stop messing around, start finding some treasure.
I mean, come off it, guys. We've been here an hour, right? Just over an hour. You know, it's nothing for the detectives. We can go... Mostly we go out, get up, and go... Get home, I get up about 7 o'clock, and we're out till about 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night sometimes. So, I mean, just 1 hour is... No matter how much you try and put pressure on me, it won't work, because we've got a long day left yet.
So high tone, so it means it's more likely copper. Wish I had a power for every one of these I've dug up. It's a shotgun cartridge end. The plague of metal detecting. There's more of these found than anything else, because every farmer has a shotgun and they all shoot out in their fields.
It's a good signal, guys. Come on. Think I got one. Think we're in. This just proves to you that, you know, sometimes you get all these people saying metal detectors, they go out and hoover out thousands and thousands of coins out the ground. And we're just showing you now, it's not all honky-dory all the time.
I'm still gonna go for it. I'm not giving up.
So yeah, I think it's probably started off life as a jet, which is a gaming token. These are sort of 17th century, 18th century. They probably circulated as sort of small change, you know, fractions of a penny.
Odd one out here, but it looks like I'm gonna have to rely on that hotspot to produce the first coins.
There you go. It is totally worth it. I mean, finding a signal and losing it, that was a signal, you all heard it. You heard it, but it's gone. It can't be gone, it's gotta be here. I know for certain it was there. I know it. I know that signal was there. It's a coin.
That's what we're after. If you can see, it's called short cross coinage because there's a small cross on the reverse. The ground hasn't been too sort of kind to this one. It's got a little crack on there, so we have to be careful with that. You could have found a perfect one. And there's the king. I don't know if you can see the king there. I mean, you really have to look at all the letters, how the letters were done, but the image looks like King John. It's quite a thin bust. But what a relief that is.
Well, the drinks are on Gordon, I reckon. But there again, he wasn't in the bet, you'd say.
Yeah, well done, Gary. It's definitely your day so far. Apart from Gary's one coin.
Pardon, say that again.
Gary's one coin.
You're going to have to pull your finger out, mate.
Yeah. most of this is pretty much junk. I mean, I think it's been successful. I mean, we job's done. We wanted to come back and actually find one of these short cross pennies. It would be nice to get some more, but I mean, this is pretty much what I suppose if we logically looked at what we were going to find, this is pretty much what you'd find on most fields, with the icing on the cake.
Well, the guys are going after a Plantagenet hoard, and I must be honest, I wasn't quite sure where the Plantagenets fit into the scheme of things. But they're actually a very important dynasty of kings, and they ruled from the 12th century right the way through until when the Tudors took over in the 15th century, so over 300 years. And they made some very important changes in England's coinage. I'm here in Winchester to meet someone who's going to tell me all about that coinage and how it changed throughout the Plantagenet period. Now, Gordon is the coin king, and what I really need to do today is find something out about these coins so I can just get one bit up on him. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Good to see you.
Thanks very much for coming here and let me rack your brains.
It's a pleasure.
Why have you brought me here to Winchester?
Well, Winchester's an important place. William I, when he comes here, kills Harold, takes the throne of England. He inherits from the Saxons a very efficient form of minting practice. Lots of mints, lots of moneyers. After the death of William in 1087, we see a degradation in the quality of the coins. Henry, the younger brother of William, seizes the royal treasury here and then hies to London to grab the crown.
This is Henry I.
Henry I, that's right. During his reign, the coinage is so distrusted that the mints have to actually snick or snip the edge of the coin for fear that it...
Oh, they're testing it?
Yeah, they're proving that their coin is okay.
This is not good when we're trading with Europe.
No, and if we get parallels today. If there's no confidence in a currency, all sorts of problems happen.
Absolutely.
So come 1124, things have got to the point where change has got to happen. So the king calls all of the moneyers from across the country to come here.
How does one become a moneyer? Who were they?
Well, at this period, a moneyer was a man of substance. He wasn't the man who actually physically made the coins. He was the man responsible for the coins. So he was responsible for the fineness, the quality of the alloy. And if something was going wrong in the mint under his control, he was in trouble. So we know that Henry's called 150-odd moneyers to Winchester, probably not that far from where we're standing, and a big trial is held. And we know from contemporary records that two-thirds of them, about 94, were dealt with harshly, and the punishment was mutilation.
Right.
I mean, I can demonstrate this on you if you wish.
I'm not a monier.
Well, OK. But the mutilation was the loss of your right hand and the loss of one testicle. That simple. And for a time, the measure seems to have been effective. The coins improve.
Well, it's not really surprising. I think I'd make sure my coins were up to scratch if I knew I was about to lose a hand and a testicle.
Well, exactly. It makes you wonder always, was it worth it to be a monier?
I don't think so. So Henry II starts the Plantagenet era, and wasn't it he that introduced the short cross penny?
It was indeed. And that type stays in use for the next 67 years.
Wow. So that was a really successful coinage.
Yes, it became well established. But I've got somewhere else to show you. So if we walk this way.
Lead on.
Working the branches again.
It could be Tim Foyle what he's listening to, but some of these sort of medieval coins can be sounding like just like that, so it's got to be Doug.
Sounds like Tim Foyle to me. Yeah.
Another one for the bag.
I told you had to dig that one.
Yeah, but I said we had to dig it. Go and have a look.
But also, I mean, it's silver. It's very thin and it's broken. And to me, it sounded like silver foil. So, because that's how silver foil sounds. But we have to dig it. And I nearly never did. And I said, Gordon, what do you think? He said, yeah, dig it. We dug it, and that's the result.
What I can see is a solid cross. It's definitely number two.
Yeah.
It's definitely a hammered penny. It's silver. I mean, if I found that just out in a field, I think I'd found a Norman penny, probably Henry I, that sort of thing. That would be extra exciting if it was.
I've done it. Gary, it says on it,
what
does it say?
Two.
Gary 2.
Right.
You get that?
Not sure what that coin was, but we'll get it seen by the experts and we soon will know what it is. Could be another hammered coin.
Oh, my God. Oh, does that look like a gold coin to you? Like a hammered gold coin? Oh. Give me a heart attack, then. A Benson and Hedges wrapper for a packet of cigarettes. If it had been a gold noble, that would have been definitely the find of the probably my year. The Button King.
Look at the size of that. I hope it's not electric.
I mean, you can walk on a field and every signal will be good. And then you can walk on a field with high expectations and it ends up that your mate finds everything. And that's one of those days.
There's an amount of pride in it as well. You know, because sometimes you can go for a long time without finding anything. It's like going fishing. You go fishing for days, some people, and they don't find anything. And then that's what we call our duck. And, you know, I've been very lucky.
So why have you brought me here?
Well, we're close to where we believe the site of the mint in Winchester was, the place where they actually made the coins.
So there were 70-odd mints?
Yes, back in Norman times.
Right, and then when the short cross penny starts being minted, there are only five?
Yeah, we start with five mints. And Winchester was one of them.
Right, right.
But not for very long, because the mint burnt down.
Ah.
And they had to move the minting from Winchester temporarily to Wilton.
I don't even know what a short cross penny looks like.
Right, OK, well, I can show you some pictures of what a short cross penny looked like. So we have a bust of the king, and there's his name, Henricus Rex. The reverse of the coin, which is where it gets its modern name from, because it's got a short cross, it doesn't go to the end of the coin. This tells us the moneyer name and the place at which it was minted. All short cross pennies have the name Henricus Rex. For the first time in the English coinage, the name does not change with the name of the king. These were introduced in 1180 in the reign of Henry II. They continue in use through the entire reign of Richard I, the entire reign of John, and the first part of the reign of Henry III. We don't know exactly why. The type stays the same for 67 years.
So they call them pennies, but what would this have bought you back in Plantagenet times?
Well, a skilled man's wages about this period would perhaps be threepence, perhaps fourpence a day. A tradesman's wages today, £150 or so a day. So that means that each penny would have a buying power equivalent today of about £50. Fine if you want to buy a house or a car, not much use to if you want to buy a pint and a packet of crisps.
What did you do if you wanted a pint and a packet of crisps?
Well, you'd need a small change. And the way you got it was to take a penny and cut it. You cut it into two pieces to make two half pennies, or you cut it into quarters to make four farthings or farthings, like these.
This would be worth about £12.50.
Yeah, it's a little simplistic, but it would have still been a significant sum of money.
Right. And very easy to lose.
Very.
And also, I might say, very difficult for our boys to find something so tiny.
They are indeed. I mean, if you go back 20, 25 years, metal detectors weren't sophisticated or sensitive enough to be capable of finding the little tiny coins.
That's going to be a real challenge for the boys.
It is.
But if anyone can find it, Gordon will.
I don't think it's a coin, it's a thing.
No.
It's another pull ring.
Pull
tab. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Well, I think we're going to have to call it a day.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit dark now.
Well, we can put the lights on the green goddess.
OK, well, we'll try to carry on a little bit longer then. You found a couple, so...
Yeah, but we need one more.
Sort of leftover blob of bronze. From where they may have been making things. This definitely looks old to me.
Come on, God, you can do it.
You haven't. You have. Holy...
Oh. I could kiss you!
It's a cut quarter penny. They used to, in the medieval period, they used to chop these pennies up into halves and quarters. And, you know, this used to be called a fourth thing. And that's where the name farthing came from. Mm. It's a lot better to find the whole ones, but I've got a very, very interesting coin.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've got eight of those.
Yeah. Well, if you chop yours up, they would be eight, yeah. Even though he's still done better than me. At least I found what I was after.
Personally, I didn't have a very good day, but it's a team effort, and the team came through.
I did kick his butt.
So we got the coins that we were after. Two of them are definitely short cross coins. The third one is definitely a hammered coin, and it's at least a short cross coin. When I say at least a short cross coin, if it's not, it could be older and it could be even rarer. But we're gonna need the experts to have a look at that first before I get too excited. We have to hand them in within 14 days because we do know that they are treasure. They will then go to the British Museum, who will write a report about them. We'd rather donate them because the original coins were donated, so it'd be nice to keep them all together and then hopefully they'll display them.
To be honest, I wanted more. I came away with a little bit, not so much disappointment, but wow, I'm sure there's more there. But most importantly, we did provide three items for the historical record to be delivered to the museum.
I did kick your ass.
Yeah, can we have a more comfortable vehicle?
First thing I need to do is to sort all through this stuff. We have really nothing here from this dig because we handed everything to the British Museum.
Yeah, but we should record all this.
I tell you what, Gareth, you can record all this. I usually like to go through all the rubbish from digs because it brings back all those memories, but on this one, I didn't do very well, and all those bad memories are starting to come back to me. Seriously, though, I've looked through all this. I can't see anything of interest.
Go on, do we have a surprise for Mike, do we?
Well, yeah, we could throw it at him. That was surprising. Yeah. I mean, about the only thing, there's nothing here.
Yeah, but while he's...
I mean, this is lead. Oh, a second. I think that might be an ingot. That might be. I mean, it's definitely... It's not lead. I mean, it could be melted aluminium. But it feels too heavy for that. It wasn't a gold, it was brass.
Yeah, I know that. The brass one, though. And his mate stuck in the ground.
I mean, it just looks like it's been smelted. There's these big bubbles in here. Yeah, I mean, if it is silver, it's a horrible looking thing. And just think how many of those Plantagenet pennies it would take to make a lump of silver that big. Joking apart, I think I will get that tested just to see what that content is. So you never know, we might have something to show Mike after all.
Mikey, here we go.
I am so pleased that we're in this rather than the Green Goddess. I've actually got an intact back.
The Green Goddess was the Rolls Royce of off-road survival driving.
If you could survive it.
This one was difficult because Gordon's a bit of an expert when it comes to coins, and I'm certainly not. But I've got some extra bits of information too. One particular bit of information that I think might just make his eyes water.
I'm still wondering why he's brought us here.
In London,
which is one of the most stressful places in the world to drive around. The whole job was to actually go to the original hoard site and find coins that were missed, and we did it. Although we haven't actually got anything to show Mike because the British Museum have all our stuff.
Yeah, but we've got letters.
The medieval period was a very important period in history, and the Plantagenets were central to that story.
I don't even know what a Plantagenet is.
You've done the hunt and you don't know what Plantagenet is.
Would you?
It's going to be really quite strange to see the boys standing on concrete and paving stones. I'm used to meeting them out in the country.
You're not going to let him out, are you? Barry, this is embarrassing.
Hey, stop. I'm Norwegian. Let me through. Taxi's trying to burn me off.
That's good.
Look at that. But that's a horde hunter's vehicle. Look at that. Oh, yeah. It's got you on the back.
Preta Manga. What's that?
Norway, let me through! Coming through! Thank you!
Oh my God.
Why does everyone look at me funny?
No. Wait, the taxi's coming! The taxis are mad!
The taxis can wait. Oh. See? Look, you're there.
Wow, you are such a skillful driver, Gary.
Well, I have been. I mean, I've crossed deserts.
Now you crossed the road.
I can't wait to see how they take the city.
Big smoke.
It's a bus. You know what? I'm glad I don't live in the city. Mike, we've named a pub after you.
Thank you.
So why have you brought us into the smoke?
I just wanted to see you, like, in the middle of town. It's quite weird.
There's no grass anywhere.
The reason I brought you here is because we're looking at Plantagenet coins, the standardisation of money, basically, in Britain. And what better place to talk about that than the City of London, the heart of the financial industry.
So why have you brought us to what must be one of the thinnest pubs in the world?
It's bigger than it looks. It plays quite an important part in my story.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Let's get a little warm.
Go get warm.
Thank you,
George.
Shit before the shovel.
So I've been learning all about Plantagenet coins, particularly short cross pennies, so hopefully I've got a few things that you won't know.
Tell us then, surprise me.
Well, the first thing about them is that by the end of the Norman period, coins had got really debased, word.
Yep.
You know about debased.
And they're also very, very poorly struck. A lot of them are very irregular. And I think it was during the Henry I, the Great Assize, some of the some of the actual moneyers were actually called to was it the Tower?
No.
Got that
Winchester.
Wrong. Winchester, right? That's right.
The biggest problem though with this debased coinage is because we're trading internationally now. All the towns are growing. It's all about trade. The problem was that people just didn't want to take English coinage. So Henry I, he's the one that called all the moneyers in, brought them all to Winchester, not London. And the main thing there was that he wanted to make an example. He wanted to say, look, you know, if you debase my coins, you are in deep trouble. Do you know what the punishment was for debasing coinage?
My memory of that whole thing, and I mean, I must admit, this was from a pamphlet.
This is not going to be good.
Pamphlet from years and years ago, was that they were skinned alive and their skins were nailed to the door of a door, I suppose, of Winchester Cathedral or whatever. I don't know. Tell me.
Well, part of the clue is where we are, the name of the pub.
Okay, I'm getting a slightly uneasy feeling now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fidgeting a bit?
Yeah.
Do you want another clue to
Me?
Get it right?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Right, okay. So they were castrated.
Are your eyes watering?
Yeah.
Actually, you're still not quite right, because they had one hand cut off.
Yeah.
And they weren't totally castrated. Just one testicle was removed.
Right, okay.
Right. What good the other one would be, I really don't know. But so, guys, that is why I brought you to Ye Olde Cock Tavern.
I think you've got a slightly dodgy lateral thinking there.
Yeah. But you didn't know about this?
No, I didn't know that.
Great. So I actually found out something that you don't know.
Yeah, you've got to the slightly grittier details.
So, guys, that's what I've learned. How was it all for you?
Very successful dig.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that when I see it.
Anyway, come on, let's show him the stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is a lot of this stuff that Gary found, and I'm sure that you can go through this and find something of real interest.
Why did I find it?
You found most of it.
No, I didn't.
That is disgusting.
There is actually one really important piece there.
This has got hair on it.
Which I thought...
Oh, that's vile.
Have a look at that and see what you think that is.
It's not your novice.
I tested this for silver by putting a little bit of chemical on that edge and looking for it to change black. And it didn't. So I threw that back in there and thought, oh, well, what a load of rubbish. But now it has actually gone back. It's gone back. It could be silver. I thought I was coming here to show you this. I thought it was silver, but now it's not.
Is it bent?
But now it could be. No. This is definitely. This could still be.
It's a big
silver ingot. I mean, I've found one bigger than this, and that's in a museum. So this is going to need to be handed in under the Treasure Act. Now I realise what it is. I've got 14 days to hand it in.
So this could have been part of the original hoard.
It could be. And I mean, the guy may even been stealing little clippings off the coins and avoided the nut wrencher, and then he made all those little clippings into that, so it could be part of the hoard. Yeah, I think that definitely has to be in the top pocket and not in the rubbish anymore.
Right, come on.
They'll get on to the good stuff.
Oh, you've got good stuff as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're in a box.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's a letter opener.
Guess what it was.
It's for opening those. Now these are actually.
What's going on there?
You've got to remember, we had 14 days to hand what we found in the British Museum, and unfortunately, that's where they still are. So we've got no coins to show you.
I'm serious.
Well, we went back and we found coins from the original hoard.
No.
Yeah.
We did, and you'll never guess how many we found.
I don't know, two or three.
We found three coins, okay?
Well,
Gary
brilliant.
Found two whole ones and I found a horrible little quarter one.
Yeah,
brilliant.
He slaughtered me. Now, although we haven't got the coins, we have got pictures of them. Mm-hmm. This was the very first coin, and you can see this is the King's Head side, where it would have Henry written around the outside edge there.
Henricus?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, and this is basically the reverse. Brilliant. This shows you the short cross design.
Yeah.
And also you can actually read the moneyer and everything around there.
So how did you feel when you found that?
brilliant. And then when the second one came to me, it's even more amazing.
I must admit, this was starting to get a bit annoying.
Well, that is, there's two of the lines there from the short cross. And if you look on this image, on that side, you can just see the bust. When I first looked at it, I thought, I wasn't sure what it was, to be honest. It looked like it could even be a Norman coin, but now I've seen it, the photographs blown up like this. I mean, you can clearly see that it is another short cross penny.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was getting a bit frustrated, but just as it was getting dark, I found one of the one of the fractions, cut quarter. As you probably know in your research, this was called a fourth thing. And they now reckon that it wasn't the traders and the people that own these coins that were doing it. They reckon that they were probably even cut at the mints.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Into halves and quarters, yeah.
Wow. He always has to get one up on me, doesn't he?
Wow.
Come on, let's open my letter. Works.
I'm hoping this is a report, Mr. Divot. As you can tell, it's slightly damp.
Look at this, mate. He says, it is in my opinion that the new finds were part of the original deposit and that they therefore constitute treasure under the terms of the Act.
Excellent, excellent.
That's the business.
And that's what we do. We go following up old hoards and we're looking for things missed by the original finders using the state-of-the-art technology that we have. And in this case, we did it. The hoard hunters did it.
You sure did.
Because you haven't actually found any coins displayed in a British museum.
No.
I can see you're so excited.
But I will now, and I have it in writing.
So, guys, you found all of this stuff.
Rubbish.
You may well have a silver ingot in your pocket.
It smells like silver.
The coin's just amazing. Well, and can we go and see these?
I hope so.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping they'll be all on display the original hoards. Because that you'll be looking in there saying, that one's mine, that one's mine.
How will I be able to tell which one I found?
They'll be the best ones in there.
Okay,
I've brought you to the Bucks County Museum to have a look at all my lovely finds and a couple of things that he found. Bits of rubbish. You've only seen pictures of these coins.
Right.
Now you should be able to see the real thing.
That's one of mine.
So I was hoping that you could come back in and see this stuff.
They're see, look yours. At that, Mike. I can remember.
They're a lot better, aren't they, than looking at photographs?
This one's really good.
It's nice, isn't it? They're all a bit damaged, but I mean,
I've got some from the original hoard here to show you if you want to see them.
Oh, right, yes,
are they better than that?
Some of them are. See, look at that.
That one's rather.
That's a lot better.
And then that's a cut halfpenny. Right. So, whereas yours is a quarter penny.
Yeah.
And that's the halfpenny.
So, are the boys' coins going to join the original?
Absolutely. Board? I mean, they are part of the same hoard. This was the decision made by the people at British Museum. They are from the same date, from the same field. There's no doubt about it, they are the same hoard. These have been in the ground for an extra couple of years. They've been bashed around by the plough.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they've been found.
Yeah. So we saved them just in time.
But thank you very much for donating them. It's the original hoard was donated, now these have been donated as well. The museum was really pleased to have them.
We're really pleased to be able to donate them.
1, 8.
Only if you cut them up.
Keep saying that,
but you're not allowed to
do that.
No.
Come on, let's go.
See you, by the way.